Well, I love 1 John chapter 2, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. So much to preach, so much to say. What a fantastic chapter in the Word of God. God, the sermon tonight is important. I pray that those who listen would not be offended or angered by what I'm going to say tonight, but that they would listen with ears ready to learn the Bible and to believe the truth as it's spoken. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, the Bible is constantly warning us, especially in the books of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, about deceivers, antichrists, false teachers, false prophets, right? All the time. Flip over, if you would, to 2 John. Just one page over in your Bible. The Bible says in 2 John, verse number 9 of 2 John, the Bible reads, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds." The Bible talks about someone even coming to your home with false doctrine. Somebody coming to your home who transgresses the doctrine of Christ, who does not believe the doctrines of the Bible, who is preaching a false gospel. Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God to another gospel." The Bible talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, another Christ, another Jesus. All throughout the Bible we're warned of false prophets, false teachers, who come to us in like wolves in sheep's clothing. Now tonight I'm going to expose to you the biggest heretic, the biggest false prophet, the biggest false teacher that I know of. I believe that this man has done more to damage the cause of Christ. I think that more people will go to hell because of this man than any other man that I can think of right now. I think that this is, and by the way, the man that I'm going to preach against tonight, yes, I'm preaching against a man tonight. The man that I'm going to preach against tonight is probably the most popular preacher in America. He's the most famous preacher in America. He's been called America's preacher. And the title of my sermon tonight, and don't get upset before you even listen to the sermon, listen to the entire sermon, and then tell me whether I'm right or wrong. Because I'm warning you, I'm preaching a lot of Bible tonight, and I'm warning you about a very bad person who everyone thinks is wonderful. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. The title of the sermon is, "Why Billy Graham is on His Way to Hell." That's the title of the sermon tonight. Why Billy Graham is on his way to hell. You say, "I already don't like the sermon. It's only going to get worse from here." So just sit down and relax. Number one, why Billy Graham is on his way to hell. Number one, because he believes in salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Now, good night. Do you believe that people who believe that there's salvation outside of Jesus Christ will be in heaven? Do you believe that a person who believes that salvation is somewhere else than in the person of Jesus Christ, will they go to heaven? Now, is God a respecter of persons? No, He's not. It's an even playing field for everybody. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Pretty clear, isn't the Bible, about the way to heaven? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. One way to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 43. In the Old Testament, three big books toward the end. And this sermon will be a juxtaposition of verses from the Bible and quotations from Billy Graham that I have personally heard out of the mouth of Billy Graham and that are documented here word for word. These are interviews that are transcribed on the internet. These are interviews that I have personally seen on television. Now, thank God my television went in the trash 7 years ago. But before my television went in the trash, I watched Billy Graham on Larry King Live give this very interview that I'm going to be reading for you. I watched this other interview played for me on a video cassette that he gives with another man. And all of these, I'd say about 90% of these quotes I've heard with my own mouth. The rest are from reported newspapers and trustworthy publications. But look at Isaiah 43, verse number 10. The Bible says in Isaiah 43:10, "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen." Now you notice the word Lord there is in all capital letters. That's the word Jehovah. Okay? All capital letters, Lord, is none other than Jehovah God. And my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Boy, if you're underlining, underline those three words. I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Look at verse number 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Look at verse number 25. Isaiah 43:25. I, even I am he. Well, underline every time you see those three words. I am he. I, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Praise God. If you're saved, your sins are forgiven and forgotten, the Bible says. As far as the east is from the west, God has separated us from our sins. And then flip to Isaiah 48:12, and I'll show you one more thing. It says in Isaiah 48:12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. And of course, Jesus Christ himself said that in Revelation chapter 1 twice, and in Revelation 22:13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now turn to John 8:24. So here we clearly see, while you're turning to John 8:24, that God says in Isaiah 43, there's none else beside me. I am the one true God. I, Jehovah, I, the Lord, am the only God. There's none else. Before me there was no God formed, neither after there shall, me shall there be. There is no salvation in any other. He said, I, even I am he. He says, I'm the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. But now look at John chapter 8:24. We'll see something very interesting out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. I said therefore unto you, John 8:24, that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he. You see those three words? If you don't believe that I'm the I am he from Isaiah 43, if you don't believe that beside me there's none else, if you don't believe in me that I'm God, the Lord, Jesus Christ, he says, if you don't believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, could the Bible be any more clearer that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, the only true God, the only Savior, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, one Lord Jesus Christ. Very simple, isn't it? And God says here, you better believe that. I am He. Now, what does he mean by I am He? Pretty obvious in Isaiah 43 what he meant by I am He. Oh, does he just mean, that's me. That's who I am. No, when he says I am He, he's saying, I'm the only one. I'm it. He said, if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. Now, let's hear Billy Graham. Let's hear Billy Graham out of his own mouth. This is an interview with Robert Schuller in May of 1997. So this was about 10 years ago. Billy Graham is speaking here. Mr. Schuller says, tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity? Billy Graham speaks, and these are all direct quotations. Well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think there's the body of Christ. This comes from all the Christian groups around the world, outside the Christian groups. I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, okay, you listening to this? They're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see a great sweeping revival that will turn the whole world to Christ at any time. I think James answered that, the Apostle James, in the first council in Jerusalem, when he said that God's purpose for this age is to call out a people for his name. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world, or the Buddhist world, or the Christian world, or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ, because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus. Did you hear that? They're members of the body of Christ, but they don't even know who Jesus' name is, possibly. But they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they're saved. And that they're going to be with us in heaven. I don't care what you think, Billy Balaam. I don't care what you think, Dr. Billy Graham. I don't care what you think, wolf in sheep's clothing. I don't care what anybody thinks. I care what the Bible says. And the Bible says there's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. And if you don't believe that, Billy Graham, you shall die in your sins. Yes, that's true. Yes, that's right. Amen, that's good. That's what the Bible says. Mr. Schuller says, what I hear you saying, that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible? Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? Dr. Graham, yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that they've never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible and never heard of Jesus, but they believed in their hearts that there was a God. And they've tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they live. So, they believed in God, some kind of a God, and they did good works. Good works is not salvation. They live different than the community around them. Does it sound like Dr. Billy Graham believed in salvation by grace through faith in the name of Jesus Christ? Good night. He says, even if they just believe there's a God. Hey, the devils believe that there's a God. I believe there's a God. No, you don't believe on God and thou shalt be saved. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That by the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. There's a name associated with salvation. There's a person associated with salvation. The Word of God. The entrance of thy Word giveth light, the Bible says. They're not following the light they have. The light they have is darkness. The light of the Quran is darkness. The light of the Tao Te Ching is darkness. The light of these false religions is darkness. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that abideth in me shall not walk in darkness, but in him shall be the light of life. Hey, Jesus Christ is the true light, the light of every man that cometh into the world. No, there is no light that they're following outside of the light of the entrance of the Word of God that giveth light. And so the Bible, not the Bible, good night. Mr. Scholler trips over his tongue for a moment, and he says, I'm so thrilled to hear you say this. There's a wideness in God's mercy. Dr. Graham, there is. There definitely is. Yeah, there's a widening in God's mercy until people die and find out when they get to hell that what he was saying was a lie because he's a false prophet. So number one, he believes that there's salvation outside of Jesus Christ, and he doesn't believe that Jesus is he. And he's going to die in his sins. Listen to this. This is from a January 1997 interview with Larry King. You know Larry King Live, the famous television show? Larry King says this. What do you think of this in 1997 January? And I've seen this one myself, and I've seen the previous one also myself on a video cassette. I've seen this one on TV when it actually aired in 1997. What do you think of the other churches like Mormonism, Catholicism, or other faiths within the Christian concept? Dr. Graham, oh, I think I have a wonderful fellowship with all of them. Larry King says, you're comfortable with Salt Lake City? You're comfortable with the Vatican? Yeah, he's talking about Mormonism, Catholicism, respectively. Graham says, I'm very comfortable with the Vatican. I have been to see the Pope several times. In fact, the day that he was inaugurated, made Pope, I was preaching in his cathedral in Krakow. So the night that Pope John Paul II was being inaugurated, he was preaching in the Pope's Catholic Church. Did you hear that? I was preaching in his cathedral in Krakow. I was his guest, and when he was over here in Columbia, South Carolina, he invited me on the platform to speak with him. I would give one talk, and he would give the other. But I was two-thirds of the way to China. You like this Pope? Graham, I like him very much. He and I agree on almost everything. Did you hear that? Well, that's the first true thing that's come out of his mouth. He and I agree on almost everything. And here I have a picture. Here's the visual aid. We have a multimedia service here at Bay Ford Baptist Church. This is a picture of Billy Graham wearing a dress. You know, I'm sorry, he's wearing his little priestly robe there. He's wearing a dress and he's being given an honorary doctorate from the Roman Catholic Belmont College. They're placing some kind of a yoke or one of these deal, you know, one of these weirdo things that they wear around their neck. They're putting this on his neck and giving him an honorary doctorate, and he's receiving it from this other guy that's in a dress. And Billy Graham's America's preacher. Don't say anything bad about Billy Graham. I've been an independent fundamental Baptist church. Yeah, say whatever you want about Billy Graham, but he gets a lot of people saved. Everything brings forth after its own kind. You must not have read very much Bible. Maybe you should go back and read the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And you'll find out that everything brings forth after its own kind. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. The bad tree will never produce any good fruit. Everything brings forth after its own kind. In order to bring forth, in order to beget a child of God, like Paul said, I've begotten Onesimus in my bonds. Like you said, Timothy and Titus are my own sons in the faith. Hey, you've got to be a child of God in order to bring forth a child of God. And no, Billy Graham has not gotten anyone saved, ever, because he's on his way to hell himself as an unbeliever. Now you say, well, I know my Aunt Flutie was saved at a Billy Graham crusade. So I know people. Well, look, am I saying that no one's ever gotten saved at a Billy Graham crusade? Personally, I do think that there are some people who've gotten saved at a Billy Graham crusade, not from Billy Graham. Because what happens is when they all flood down the aisle, when you get to the bottom, they ask you, or what denomination, or they have all workers from all different denominations, Catholic, Muslim, or not Muslim, good. They have Catholic, Methodist, you know, Presbyterian, all Christian so-called denominations down there. And I've known independent fundamental Baptists who, before their eyes were open and before they understood what Billy Graham was about, they worked at these, they were down at the altar. And so, yeah, if somebody wandered down the altar and somebody who was actually saved, you know, sat down with them at the altar with the Bible, they could have won them to Christ. Nobody's been saved through his preaching, because his preaching is not from God, because he's not filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's not in the Spirit of God, because he's unsaved. And so the only way a person can be saved from a Billy Graham crusade is by some soul winner that happened to be down at the altar. They shouldn't have been there, but, you know, God can sometimes turn things that we do wrong. He can still get some good out of it. And that's what happened, obviously, in the case of people who got saved by some altar worker at a Billy Graham crusade. But, you know, Billy Graham's never won anybody to the Lord, period. So, number one, he believes that salvation is outside of Jesus Christ. But number two, why Billy Graham's on his way to hell? Number one, because he believes in salvation outside of Jesus Christ. He doesn't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Number two, he's loved by the world. That's why he's unsaved. That's proof that he's unsaved. Because the world loves him. Listen to this. 1 John 3:13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Matthew 24:9. And they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Luke 21:17. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Matthew 10:24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? John 17:14, listen carefully to this verse. I have given them thy word, this is Jesus praying to the Father, and the world hath hated them. Why? Because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. When you're not of the world's going to hate you. Why did the world hate Jesus? He said, because I'm not of the world, that's why they hate me. I've given the word of God to my 12 disciples, therefore the world hates them, because they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. People who are of the world, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. That's what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4. See, when you're of God, when you're following Jesus Christ, the world is going to hate you. The world's going to persecute you. If that comes as a shock to you, you must not have been living for God very long. You must have never stood up for God before. Because the Bible says in Luke 6:26, listen to this, here's a good verse to put on Billy Graham's tombstone. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Did you hear that? When everybody's talking good about the prophet, the preacher, he's a bad preacher. The false preachers are the ones that they said that about. Did you know that everybody in the world loves Billy Graham? Did you know that the Roman Catholics fully endorse and love Billy Graham? I don't know if you know that. They gave him an honorary doctorate. Did you know that the Methodists love Billy Graham? Did you know that the Presbyterians love Billy Graham? Did you know that the Mormons speak highly of Billy Graham? Did you know that 99% of Baptists love Billy Graham? Did you know that world leaders, communist world leaders, democratic world leaders, he goes and has an audience with them? Did you know that? Did you know that the Pope loves Billy Graham? Did you know that Billy Graham is so accepted by the world? Did you know that he's the one who holds out the Bible and prays with the president when he's inaugurated? Did you know that? Did you know that when the president is inaugurated, he puts his hand on a Bible that's held by Billy Graham, and he swears his oath into office, and Billy Graham prays over the whole thing? Did you know that Billy Graham is loved by Judaism? Did you know he's loved by all religions of the world? Did you know that you can only go to hardly any place in the world where anybody is going to speak anything negative about Billy Graham. The whole world loves him. He could go on any television station tonight, and they would be clamoring to have him on there. He can go on NBC. He could be on ABC. He'd be on CBS. Any of those stations would love to have him on there, and have all had him on there. He could go on any TV station. He could go on any radio station. Everyone loves Billy Graham. Why? Because he's of the world. Do you think that I will ever be preaching on any television station anytime soon, anytime in a million years? No. Do you think that any preacher that I've ever heard that ever preached the Word of God like it ought to be preached and did not pull any punches and preached, "Thus saith the Lord," is ever going to be on TV? Think about what else is on TV. Think for a minute. If he were on CBS, what's he going to be? Right between Will and Grace and Queer Eye for the Straight Guy? What's he going to be? Right between Jerry Seinfeld and Friends, the Billy Graham Crusade? Hey, it would fit right in because it's all of the world. It's not of the Father. You're not going to be watching your favorite episode of Seinfeld, and then as soon as the credits are over of Seinfeld, all of a sudden some fire-breathing, King James Bible-preaching, Baptist, hell-bent for leather preacher's not going to come on the screen and start preaching the Bible? Are you insane? It wouldn't work. Good night. You see, Billy Graham's of the world. That's why the world loves him. This is what the Bible says in James 4:4. Remember Grandma's Bible a couple weeks ago? Right? A couple weeks ago, I preached out of my grandma's Bible, and I love it. It has all her notes written in it. And this is some notes that she'd written in, you know, decades ago. And it said right next to James 4:4, Billy Balaam is the friend of the world. James 4:4. And she had it underlined. I love grandma. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, this is the verse that she was referring to. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Isn't that strong language? If you want to be the friend of the world as a preacher, that's your goal, he says, you are the enemy of God. Billy Graham is God's enemy tonight. Matthew 5:10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And last but not least, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a pretty strong verse. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You say, has Billy Graham ever suffered any persecution? Never. Have you ever been condemned and decried? Maybe by some independent fundamental Baptist somewhere. Huh? Maybe by some preacher that has the spine and the guts to stand up and say, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. I care what the Bible says. You may never come back because Billy Graham's your hero. Because you think Billy Graham's the second coming of Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you something. I will preach against the wolf in sheep's clothing. I'm going to expose him to you tonight. Billy Graham is a heretic out of hell. He's going to hell. Now, you might hear it in a few places like that, but Billy Graham has suffered no persecution from the world. He's loved by everybody. Why? Because he's not of God. Listen to this. In a May 30th, 1997 interview, Graham told David Frost, I feel I belong to all the churches. I am equally at home in an Anglican or Baptist. You wouldn't be at home here, brother. I shouldn't say brother because he's not my brother. You wouldn't be at home here, son. You would not feel at home at all. It says, I'm equally at home in an Anglican or Baptist or a Brethren Assembly or a Roman Catholic Church. This is Billy Graham's quote. Today we have almost 100% Catholic support in this country. Do you hear him? That was not true 20 years ago. And the bishops and archbishops and the Pope are our friends. Why doesn't he just say the devil is my friend? Why doesn't he just say pedophiles are my friends? Why doesn't he say child molesting, false doctrine preaching pastors of popish persons of Catholic churches are his friends, huh? Good night. Do you think the Catholic priest is my friend tonight, who's preaching damnable heresies, who's on his way to hell? Get him away from my kids, number one. Number two, his doctrine's out of the devil's hell. I wouldn't spit on him. Because he's a false teacher and a heretic. He's an enemy of God. The Bible says, brethren, mark them which walk so that you have us for an example, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame. He says, mark and point out those who are the enemies of the cross of Christ. I think of Romans chapter number 16. Let me turn there quickly. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to quickly turn there so that I don't read it wrong. But the Bible says in Romans 16, let me see if I can find the verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Mark them and avoid them is what God says about the people who are teaching false doctrine. What else? Listen to this. Billy Graham believes that the late Pope John Paul II surely went to heaven. On Larry King Live, aired April 2nd, 2005, Billy Graham said that the late Pope was the most influential voice for morality and peace in the world in the last 100 years. When Larry King asked, there's no question in your mind that he's with God now? This is Graham speaking. Oh, no. There may be a question about my own, but I don't think Cardinal Wojtyla, or whatever his stupid name is, before he changed it. What is it? No. This is the old Pope. This is John Paul. Wojtyla. Or the Pope. I think he's with the Lord because he believed. He believed in the cross. Doesn't that sound good? That was his focus throughout his ministry. The cross. Oh, the cross. That's that thing that he carried around with Jesus on a stick. I remember that. He carried around Jesus on a stick. You remember that? A bent cross on the end of a stick with an idol of Jesus hanging on it. Yeah, I remember. I remember what he thought about the cross. He carried it around like a rabbit's foot. He held it in one hand. He had his poo-poo dust in the other hand when he emptied out the dustbuster. And that's what it looks like when they perform these Catholic services. It looks like they're cleaning their dustbuster. They dump out all that poo-poo dust and all their little magic dust. He says, that was his focus throughout his ministry, the cross. No matter if you were talking to him from personal issue or an ethical problem, he felt that the answer to all our problems was the cross and the resurrection. He was a strong believer. Do you think that John Paul II, the leader of the mother whore Catholic Church, believed in the cross of Jesus Christ as his way to heaven? I think he believed in the confessional booth as part of the way to heaven. I think he believed in infant baptism as part of the way to heaven. I think he believed in eating a cracker and drinking some booze on Sunday morning as part of the way to heaven. I think that he believed that you have to do good works to go to heaven, because that's what the Catholics teach. I think he believed that there's no salvation outside the church, which is what the Catholics teach and believe. No, he didn't believe in the cross. The cross was something he carried around like an ornament, like a decoration. It was just part of his accessories that he carried around. So number one, why is Billy Graham on his way to hell? Number one, it's because he believes that there's salvation outside of Jesus Christ. Good night. Isn't that why everybody goes to hell? Because they don't believe on Jesus Christ as their way to heaven. They believe in works or a church or their own good life or some other false god or some other false religion. Why is he immune to that? Because his name's Billy Graham? No, he's not immune. There's no respect of persons with God. Number two, he's loved by and accepted by the world universally. Completely. But number three, he's without chastisement. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. Toward the end of the Bible there, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 6. The Bible reads in Hebrews 12, 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Every son whom he receiveth. "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." Now the Bible's clear here that if you're a believer, if you're saved, when you sin, which we all sin, good night. We all probably sin on a daily basis, truth be told. But God's saying here, when you sin, if you're saved, you will be chastised. You know, especially if you committed a major grievous sin, like David did when he committed adultery with Bathsheba and had Uriah, her husband, killed. Major sin, adultery and murder. He was severely chastised for that. Paid a great price for that. Why? Because he was a child of God, that's why. Other people commit all the sin, adultery, murder, and get away with it in this life. Because they're not God's children, he does not chastise them, and they go to hell and they're punished for their sins. Now, you see, well, here's what I think, and I've heard people say this many times. I think Billy Graham is saved. they say, I think Billy Graham's a Christian. I just think that he's sold out for money. You know, so he just says whatever people want to hear for money. You know, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, the Bible says. And so he's just kind of sold out for popularity and money, and that's the reason why he says these things, because he's just a sellout. He's a phony. He's a fraud. But I still think he's really saved. Now, what are they basing that on is what I want to know. Why are they just clinging to some hope that he's saved when he's a false prophet? I don't understand that. But let me ask you something. Let's say for a minute that Billy Balaam were saved. Okay? Well, wouldn't God be chastising him majorly for preaching all this false heresy and for saying all these horrible statements? I mean, God says that he even comes to the point where sometimes he'll kill people because of the sins. I mean, look at Ananias and Sapphira. And I believe that they were born-again believers in Jesus Christ. But they did such a grievous sin that God actually killed them. Okay? There are sins that people commit where they get severely chastised by God. God says if you're not being chastised by God when you sin, you never have any chastening, never have any chastisement, never get the spanking from God. He said, then are ye bastards and not sons. Hey, you know what? Billy Graham might as well be called Billy Bastard. And Billy Bastard is going to go to hell. Why? Because he's without chastisement, because he doesn't believe on Jesus Christ, and because the world loves him. Why? Because he's of the world, because he's not of the Father. Billy Bastard, you need a beating, you need a spanking, you need a whooping from God, but it's not going to come, because God only chastises his children. That's the truth. But number four, and I'll hurry up and get into this one. Number four, he does not believe or preach the doctrines of the Bible, is the fourth reason why. Number one, believe salvation outside Jesus Christ. Number two, loved and accepted by the world universally. Number three, totally without chastisement. He owns millions and millions of dollars of property. He's a very, very rich man. No chastisement, no punishment, just goes through life, lives to be a very, very old man, has everything the world could give him, popularity, fame, money, accolades, respect of millions and billions around the world. No chastisement from God. Nothing like David went through. Nothing like every... You ever notice when you're reading like the books of Kings and Chronicles, whenever the good kings get into sin, you ever notice how God disciplines them? Every time. I mean, whenever there's a good king, and then he goes into sin, it starts talking about how the armies around them start taking back some of the land, and different people start conspiring against them, and if you've read the Bible much, you know that. But turn to John chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I'll read for you Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Do you hear that? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. God's saying, when they speak everything contrary to what the Bible says, it's because they're not saved. It's because there's no light in them. Look at John chapter 8, verse 43. The Bible says, why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. That's always the problem. Not believing, not no faith. That's why people aren't saved. Which of you convinceth me of sin? This is Jesus speaking. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. You see, people who are of God hear God's word. When you take the Bible and show somebody, I mean, if somebody's saved, right? And you take the Bible and show them, look, you know, you're saved, right? You believe the Bible. And you show them, look, here's where the Bible says that God created the world. No evolution. I mean, anybody who's saved is going to receive that. I mean, you just show them, look, this is what the Bible says. What if they say, well, I don't believe that? Well, he that is of God heareth God's words. Either for you heareth not, because you're not of God. Okay. And so, people who are of God, they believe what the Bible says, is what I'm trying to say. They hear God's word. They speak according to this word. Preachers who are of God speak according to this word. They're not always just going against it all the time. Well, and we already read, of course, 2 John, verse number 9 through 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What's that saying? A person who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that means, let's say I walk up to a preacher and he says, well, you know what? I believe that you can lose your salvation. You know, I don't believe it's eternal life. I don't believe it's everlasting life. I believe you can lose your salvation. I used to believe that it was once, I used to believe that it was all by faith in Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. But now I think that you do have to live the life. Now look, did he abide in the doctrine of Christ? No, now he's gone to another gospel. Was he ever saved? No. Okay. Because a person that's saved, the person who doesn't stay with the doctrine, the Bible says he doesn't have God. He doesn't have the Holy Spirit living inside him. He doesn't have Christ in him, the hope of glory. He's unsaved. If he doesn't stay with the doctrine, he's unsaved. Now, if somebody doesn't stay with church, hey, they can still be saved. Somebody may not stay with living right. I mean, many Christians get backslidden, and fornication, drugs, drinking happens all the time. It happened in the life of Samson. It happened in the life of David and Solomon, these men. They fell into sin. They went away from God. But did they depart from the doctrines of Jesus Christ? Did they start teaching that salvation's by works and Jesus isn't really God and there's two gods and blah, blah? No, they didn't. Because the Bible says that whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and Son. He didn't say he that abideth in church. He didn't say he that abideth in living a good life. No, he said if he abides in the doctrine. Okay, once you believe on Jesus Christ, you're sealed under the day of redemption. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us tells us what the truth is. And a pastor, a preacher, who preaches everything that's wrong and contrary to the gospel, because he didn't have any light in him, is what the Bible said in Isaiah 8:20. Now listen to this. I'm talking about doctrinal errors of Billy Graham, showing that there's no light in him. Listen to this. This is in 1961. Billy Graham used to be fundamental. No. I have quotes from the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. He's always been what he is. He's always been a liberal, compromising, false prophet. 1961 interview with the Lutheran Standard, which is a publication of the American Lutheran Church. This is what he says. I have some difficulty in accepting the indiscriminate baptism of infants without a careful regard as to whether the parents have any intention of fulfilling the promise that they make. But I do believe that something happens at the baptism of an infant, particularly if the parents are Christians and teach their children Christian truths from childhood. We cannot fully understand the miracles of God, but I believe that a miracle can happen in these children so that they are regenerated, that is, made Christian through infant baptism. Did you hear that? That's Billy Graham. That's your hero. You know what? You can have your hero. Okay? You have your hero. I don't want him. Okay? I've got my own heroes, and he's not one of them. Did you hear that? If you want, and then this is what he says. He says, made Christian through infant baptism. If you want to call that baptismal regeneration, that's all right with me. Go ahead and call it. Hey, go ahead and call it what it is, right? It's baptismal regeneration. Salvation through baptism. In 1966... this is what Dr. Graham said to the United Church Observer. How you believe doesn't affect the doctrine. Either at a certain moment in evolution, God breathed into one particular ape man, who was Adam, or God could have taken a handful of dust and blowed and created a man just like that. Yeah, I guess he could have done it the way it says in the Bible, where he took a handful of dust, right, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Or, let me read it for you again, maybe at a certain moment in evolution, God breathed into one particular ape man. A-P-E. Ape man. He breathed it. He took some... he grabbed some monkey. And Jesus Christ said, come here for a minute. And breathed into his nostrils. And all of a sudden, we have Adam, the first man. Adam became a living soul. He went from... and all of a sudden, he named all the animals. All of a sudden, he was a super intelligent human being. All of a sudden, he was probably the most intelligent man that ever lived, Adam. I don't know what you think is so funny about this. Something funny about this false teacher, okay, that we're exposing. Listen to this. We're talking about Billy Graham's warped doctrine that has no place in the Bible. Yeah, maybe it was some ape. Maybe Adam was an animal, okay, that God turned into a human being by breathing into his nose. Okay, or maybe when kids get baptized as infants, maybe they become a Christian. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. Listen to this. Baptism is very important. This is a quote from October 1999. This is an interview with the press in St. Louis, Missouri, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, name of the newspaper. Baptism is very important because Jesus taught that we are to believe and to be baptized. But that is up to the individual and the church that they are to believe and to be baptized. I'm sorry. Let me read this again. I messed up. Baptism is very important because Jesus taught that we are to believe and to be baptized. But that is up to the individual and the church that they feel led to go to. The churches have different teachings on that. I know that in the Lutheran or the Episcopal or Catholic Church, it's a very strong point. And in the Baptist Church. But there are some churches that would not insist on baptism. So I give them the freedom to teach what they want. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Billy Graham, for giving me the freedom to teach whatever I want. I appreciate you allowing me to do that. I'm not a professor. This is Billy Graham speaking. I'm not a theologian. I'm a simple proclaimer. I'm announcing the news that God loves you and that you can be forgiven of your sins and you can go to heaven. My job from God is not to do all these other things. I'm not a pastor of a church. That's not my responsibility. My responsibility is to preach the gospel to everyone and let them choose their own church, whether it's Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox or whatever it is. Choose your own. You ever seen these stickers on the back of sometimes a truck, like a trucker, you know, going down the road? It'll say, attend the church of your choice this Sunday. You ever seen, who's seen that before? I've seen, you know, why doesn't it say, attend the church of God's choice this Sunday? Oh, whatever church you want. You like the rock band, huh? You like the girls up in the miniskirt, swinging and swaying and jamming for Jesus, huh? Is that what you like? Well, don't come here. You know, go choose the church of your choice. Go choose the church where they preach out of the NIV and the ASV and the RSV and the HIV and the ABCDEFG. Go to whatever church you want. Hey, go to the church of your choice. No, I'm going to go to the church that God chose, huh? You say, well, I think all churches are good. All religions are good. You must have learned that from Billy, didn't you? You and Billy figured that out, didn't you? But God says, no, 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 no. It's this word. It's this God. It's this Jesus Christ. It's this Bible. It's one way of salvation. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. So, I mean, we listen to doctrinal errors. Maybe evolution, you know. Infant baptism. I believe it. I don't care about baptizing people. I don't care whether you sprinkle, pour, dip, sprinkle, slosh, splash, dunk, high dive, whatever you do for baptism, none of my business. Go to the church of your choice. Whatever they teach, that's fine. Did you know that his daughter is an ordained minister, preacher? Did you know that? Ann Graham, what is it? Lotz. Ann Graham Lotz, right? Tell you who you've been listening to. No, I'm just kidding. But Ann Graham Lotz, huh? She's got to drop that name. You know, instead of just going by her new name of Lotz, she's got to put in that famous... Why? Because everybody loves that name, huh? Graham. Oh, you're the daughter of Billy Graham? Wow. Ann Graham Lotz, an ordained minister? That's real biblical, isn't it? Woman preachers? Well, how about this? Billy Graham does not believe that hell is a place of literal fire and torment. This is him speaking in 1999 in Greensboro, North Carolina, to the newspaper. I know that God has a fire which burns but does not consume. One example is the fire of the burning bush, which Moses saw. I know also, however, that in many places throughout the Bible, the term fire is used figuratively to connote great punishment or suffering. The Bible speaks of fire set by the tongue. He says I think the fire that is mentioned in the Bible is a burning thirst for God that can never be quenched. So he doesn't believe that hell is real fire. Like, ouch! Kind of fire. He says that hell is a fire of a burning thirst for God that can never be quenched. I guess you're just floating out through space. Oh, I wish I was in heaven with God. That's not what hell is like. Hell's a real place of fire and torment and brimstone and damnation and torture and suffering. Maybe it's symbolic. And everything he says is prefaced by this word, maybe, I think, could be. Because he doesn't want to say anything firm, because then he might alienate somebody. And remember, he wants to bring everybody together. He wants everybody to speak well of him, like they did of all the other false prophets. And so let me ask you something. You say, well, I don't know, Pastor Anderson. This isn't what I expected to hear on Sunday night in church. Well, you know what? I preach all kinds of sermons, don't I? I mean, I preach uplifting, encouraging sermons. I preach Bible studies on Wednesday nights where I go through the Bible verse by verse and preach just every word. I mean, I preach sermons about soul winning, going out and winning people to Christ, giving people the gospel. I preach sermons against sin. You know, I preach against all the sin and all the worldliness and garbage, right? I preach against issues of our day that affect us from the Bible. I use a lot of Bible in my sermons. But you know what? I've reserved Sunday night, June 24th, 2007, to expose the biggest devil that America's ever seen. Do you mind if I do that? Do you mind if I, the pastor of Faith Forward Baptist Church, take one evening, one service? Oh, it'll just be one. Don't worry. We'll be back to our normal schedule of events next Wednesday, next Sunday. Just this one time. Can I just devote a whole sermon to the most popular preacher in America, the favorite preacher of the world, the man loved universally by everyone who's the world? And can I expose him for the God-denying, Christ-rejecting heretic that he is? Do you mind if I do that? I hope you don't mind, but even if you do mind, I'm going to do it anyway. Because it's somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to say it like it needs to be said. And I sat in the pew. I grew up in church. I grew up in Independent Fundamental Baptist Church. And you know what? I sat in the pew my whole life. And you know what I did while I sat in the pew? I sat there and I said, when's somebody going to get up and really tell it like it is? I wish that the pastor who's holding back, you know, you listen to these pastors, they're always holding it in, right? Holding back. And you'll see someone's on the tip of their tongue. They're actually going to say something controversial. And you sit up straight in your chair. You know, I remember this. Me and my dad sitting together in church and the whole family, but I sit by my dad. And we'd be sitting there just perk up our ears. And I remember one particular pastor when I was 9 years old sitting next to my dad in church. And he said, no, I'm going to go out on a limb here. And boy, we sat up straight. We perked up. We said, man, is he actually going to just lay it out for us and just tell us how it is? He didn't. He didn't. That's why I'm doing it now, so that you, the listener, you, the member of Faith Forward Baptist Church, won't have to go through the same frustration of wondering what the pastor is really thinking, huh? Of wondering what the Bible really teaches. You can sit there and get the whole thing, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for Faith Forward Baptist Church. I pray that those that are here would understand the sermon, a sermon of Bible doctrine. Salvation through Christ alone. Hallelujah. A sermon of Bible doctrine about chastening and chastisement of God's people. A sermon about Bible doctrine of the fact that all of us are going to be persecuted someday. All of us are going to have those who don't like us because we're not of the world. God, I just pray that everybody in this room would understand that just because somebody's popular, just because everybody loves them, just here.